What is the wrapper on your chocolate egg or bar or little packet of Chockies? Does it have the Fair Trade logo on the front? Well, believe it or not, the chocolate industry globally is worth $150 billion. And you may have contributed to some of that yourself over the weekend. I know I have. But what's even more surprising and disappointing and concerning is the amount of money that cocoa farmers get from that bar of chocolate and back chaining that, reverse engineering that back to the farm itself. A lot of the chocolate comes from just two African countries, Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, and Ghana. And the problem in those two countries is that the typical cocoa farmer earns less than a dollar a day. So compare that to the $150 billion globally, and you can see the shape of the problem. So if you could find them and you paid a high price for your Easter eggs, how much of that money went back? Well, it will depend if it went back to the farmer. It will depend on whether the Fair Trade logo was on the front of that chockey. Molly Harris-Olson is the CEO of Fair Trade Australia and New Zealand and can tell us a bit more about that story from the little logo back to the farm. Hi, Molly.
Hello, how are you? Nice to meet with you.
Same to you, Molly. Thank you and happy Easter. So when we see that little logo on the front of any product, but let's stick to chocolate, seeing as it is Easter, Molly, what does it tell us about the story that led up to that point at which we reached up to the shelf and picked it up off and put it in our basket?
Look, it's so important today to know where our products are coming from and that there is some transparency in those supply chains. Because at the moment, there's, as you say, something around 5 to 6 million farmers around the world in just those two countries primarily. And they are selling their cocoa. They get about something like 7% of the value of a cocoa bar, where retailers get about 44% and the manufacturers get about 35%. And these are people who are still living in abject poverty. 58% of them are living below a dollar a day. And even in the 1980s, they were getting 16% of the value of a chocolate bar. So it's gotten worse and worse. And primarily, this is because of the structure of trade in the world today. There's more slavery in the world than there's ever been. And today, there's only 9 companies that control and dominate everything in cocoa, from the trading to the grinding to the processing and the manufacturing. So the farmers really have no power in these supply chains. They are very, very vulnerable, and they really need the structures that underpin fair trade to help them get a fair price for their commodity.
So if 7% then is sort of the standard, what are the stats on a fair trade chocolate bar or egg or product?
Look, on average globally across all the products, and there's about 30,000 of them that fair trade trades.
Really? 30,000? That's a lot.
There are. The primary ones are a big seven: cocoa, coffee, tea, bananas, sugar, cotton. You know, there's commodities where poverty is really, really the worst in the world. And those are the commodities, obviously, that fair trade is most involved in. But there's about something in the order of $13 billion every year in retail sales in fair trade products. But that's still not nearly enough to actually make sure that farmers everywhere are getting a fair price for their commodities. And in fact, you know, in something like coffee, in the last 5 years, there's only been 3 weeks where the minimum price of fair trade offered to farmers to help support them was met by the commodity price. So that means if a farmer's not trading on fair trade terms with all those protections in that supply chain, then basically you can guarantee that they're just not getting a fair go.
Molly Harris-Olson is the CEO of Fair Trade Australia and New Zealand. We're talking about fair trade chocolate and what it means if that little logo is on the front of your confectionery. It's 16 after 9. James Fiver with you on ABC Canberra. Molly, let's start at the other end of the equation then. If I'm a farmer, what is the mechanism under which you mentioned there, trading under fair trade or fair trade price? Can you describe to me what the process might be and options on the table for someone who perhaps in one of those African countries that I mentioned or elsewhere, in our region, perhaps PNG for coffee and chocolate and so on, or cocoa. What is the process for a farmer to get into the fair trade system and get a better price for what they're producing?
Well, they have to opt in. As with all companies and all traders, everyone in the fair trade supply chains globally are in there because they choose to be there. So it's a voluntary global system. But it is the the purpose of it really is, we call it making trade fair. Basically, it's a world in which producers can enjoy sustainable and secure livelihoods, fulfill their potential, and decide on their future. And the way we've taken to doing that is actually making the producers and workers in the fair trade system half owners of the whole global fair trade system. So they are 50% of the global board. They are 50% of the General Assembly, which means every decision we take financially or strategically for fair trade is actually driven by the farmers and workers in the system. So that's the very first thing, giving them some power in how the system of trade that underpins what they do is operating, and that they have decision and a voice in that. But beyond that, actually, the thing that I think is the most fascinating, and I had spent 30 years, I've spent 30 years in sustainability, but I had spent 20 years on environmental issues like climate change and coral reef protection before becoming a board member of Fair Trade International and a chair of that international board. And what I found absolutely phenomenal about it was that it has all of the structural underpinnings, and it is scaled globally to a point where it has demonstrated that actually we can conduct trade in a way that does protect vulnerable cocoa farmers and does protect them from things like child labor and a failure of governance. So if you're a farmer, what basically happens is you're stuck with the commodity price. You're stuck with whoever comes to the gate or whoever, whatever trader is reaching out and saying, we want X tons of cocoa. And you take it at their price. You don't have any control in those supply chains or with that price. With fair trade, there's a minimum price that protects them for their livelihood. Basically, it means that their cost of production is met, so that they're at least not producing that cocoa in a way that subsidizes the global cocoa market. And then there's a premium on top of that that supports them to have basically development fund. It's about $250 million every year to support them for schools and hospitals and anything that they choose to do for development of their community. They get to decide that. What fair trade does is audit the standards of governance that sit behind that, so that it was a public meeting, that women were allowed to vote, et cetera, et cetera. So it all has to happen through rigorous democratic governance that sits around how they spend that money. But basically, they have power in those supply chains, and they have the opportunity to have resources in their community to build the kinds of things like schools and hospitals that they feel they need.
That's a lot. Just behind one little logo, that's a lot of governance and due diligence and good potential good to be done, Molly, isn't it? How much then back at the other end of the chain, if we're staring at the chocolate aisle, which we might not be this week, but when Friday rolls around and we need that hit again, how much of is it knowing all of that that we have just heard you describe? And yes, there's a price differential, but how much of it is on the consumer to make a choice and look at that little logo, whether it's a coffee or chocolate or whatever?
Look, that's a really great point. It's the easiest thing in the world to see the little green and blue yin yang signal, I call it. It's simple. It's a lovely farmer waving.
Yeah, it does look a little bit like that, actually, sort of cross between a stick person and a yin yang. It's good. It's easy to spot.
It is easy to spot. And the thing that helps, you can really rest assured that there is proper transparency and there's proper standards right across that supply chain that protect the farmer and give the farmer both a fair go and also power in those supply chains to make sure that they can control their future. And really, there's nothing like it that's as comprehensive, that's globally scaled, and that really is having that profound impact on the farmer. So I think really that's the easiest way. And by all means, research all kinds of things. There's lots and lots of different confusing labels out there. Some of them mean absolutely nothing. Some of them are self-certification, which is kind of like correcting your own homework if you're a student. and others are really attempting to do some good in the world, but none of them have what I would call that systemic structural change.
The depth, yeah.
That fair trade has.
Yeah, yeah. Molly, thank you for describing that, because sometimes we can just sort of blindly follow, like you say, that it'll the branding and it, if you can be hard if you've got the kids in the trolley or, you know, you're just trying to rush and get some stuff for dinner. But, you know, you can, if you just take a beat to keep an eye out for the little yin yang, the farmer yin yang, then you know, you might do some good, even if you don't do good to yourself with the chocolate,
it's
Molly.
Profoundly good for the farmers. It absolutely is.
And there you go. And that's Molly Harris Olsen, CEO at Fair Trade Australia New Zealand. That's her carte blanche to go and eat as much chocolate as often as possible, as long as it's fair trade.
Indeed.
Molly, thanks for your time. Appreciate you explaining that to us.
Absolutely a pleasure. Happy Easter and all the very best.